As we come to our time of offering this morning, I would like to put out a question for you. Is offering all about money? Is there more to it? I have discovered that offering isn't just about money. It's about serving the people around you. It's about giving what you can and service in talents. It's not just about money. And I've also realized that you don't know what you have till it's gone. So today I would like to challenge you, to encourage you, to look around and see what services are around you that are being provided by other people that you don't necessarily realize. What's an offering around you that you haven't said thank you for? Just take some time to say thank you. Please pray with me. Dear God, this morning we come to you with such great joy, such abounding love and thankfulness for what goes on around us. We'd like to thank you, God, not only for the financial state that you set us up in, but for all the talents you have given us and the ability to share that you have planted deep within us. I would ask, God, that this morning you reach inside every one of us, inside, deep inside our heart, to that place where we long to share with others. And bring it out, God, to let the whole world see what we want to share. Amen.
Singing for the Lord is our light. We are singing.
Our scripture lesson today comes from Romans 16, verses 25 to 27. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden from long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings of the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be the glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please pray with me. God, we thank you that we can come into this place and sing because we're able to walk in the light. And even when we walk in darkness, we're reminded that, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even there, you're with us, preparing a table for us in the presence of our enemies, anointing our heads with oil. Our cups overflow. Your goodness and mercy, no matter where we go, it follows us. And we anticipate dwelling in the house of the Lord throughout all eternity, singing your praise. We also are aware of great sorrow and grief in the world, and it affects us because it affects your children. And we're one great family that circles this globe. So when our sisters and our brothers in Nigeria are hurting, see their children kidnapped, their houses burned, their church buildings destroyed, we are touched with a deep sense of grief. Oh Lord, bring peace to the people of Nigeria. We pray that those who lead lifestyles of violence would hear words of life. Jesus, you said you came not to kill or steal or destroy, but you came that we might have life and have it abundantly. So we pray all those in Nigeria would experience life in all of its abundance, both those who do the afflicting and those who are the afflicted. We're also aware of great needs within this congregation. We think of young Tim Reinhardt, who had his foot amputated not quite a week ago and now is being rehabilitated in Manor Care in Lebanon. And we think of his dad, who also had a toe removed in anticipation of a valve replacement. And all of this happened while Gerhardt's shop burned to the ground, and we can't imagine how painful that must have been. Be with them. Let your grace abound upon them. We think of Dorothy Renninger, who broke her foot. She's been in and out of the hospital and in and out of nursing care so many times over the past year. Be with her. Wrap your loving arms around her. We pray for Anne Brown, that you would bring healing to her. And Lord, all of the many concerns that we bring with us, both those which we personally feel, and those within our families, and those among our neighbors and others that haven't been named in the world around us. We speak blessing. We speak blessing. We speak blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You and I have been blessed in order to be a blessing. One of the prime tasks of the church is to be in the blessing business. And I want to talk about that today, but I need some help from, oh wait, we only have one of the grandkids left, actually two. Oh no, okay, I see three. I want you to serve communion. And since this is my last Sunday, I get to choose the elements. So could you come forward? Today for communion, we are having Hershey's Nuggets. There's two for each of you. Wait, no, I have two more for Liesl. No, hold them, don't drop them. Wait. There's some people here and there's some people in choir. Flynn, you go get the people in the choir and go ahead and serve them. And everybody, take one. Or if you're allergic to nuts or if you're allergic to chocolate, just save it and give it to me. Because I'm not allergic. We're blessed to be a blessing. The very first interaction that our God had with his newly created humanity was to bless them. There's that wonderful space in Genesis where it says God created man, male and female he created them in his own image, God created them. And then the very next thing that God did after creating Adam and Eve was he blessed them. He didn't say, okay, guys, you can go and hang out in the Garden of Eden for a while, but you're on trial. This is a probationary period. I want to see if you will earn my blessing. Before Adam and Eve did anything, before they even thought about eating the forbidden fruit, God blessed them. And when it says that we are created in the image of God, I think that's one of the character points that is being referred to. I'm going to be really disappointed if when I get to heaven, God looks like me. I mean, you know, and you will be too. You know you will. Be honest. When it talks about God, about us being created in God's image, I think it's much more than, you know, physical. That we are the very things that our God has passion around. God puts those passions in us. And when we are in touch with the deepest passions within us, after all the stuff gets set aside, and the things that are in the deepest places in our hearts, when we get in touch with those passions, we are in touch with something that God has created within us. And so we're in the blessing business. When God called Abraham, God said, I want to bless you so that you can bless others. In fact, through you, all of the nations of the earth will be blessed. And so from the tradition of Abraham until now, that's part of our heritage. That God calls us from places that we're familiar with. You know, the call of Abraham was, I want you to leave your home. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your nation and go to a place that I will show you. And I'm sure Abraham and Sarah were the first to say, are we there yet? And God sent them to be a blessing to the nations. And God sends us be a blessing to the nations. And you know, your next door neighbor is part of the nations. So you don't have to go to Nigeria like some of us have. Just go next door. You've got folks there that need a blessing. Well, because I knew that this was going to be just a brief service today, I decided to do a seven-point sermon. I felt like I needed to fill in the time until the tacos are done or whatever it is that we're having. Is it tacos? Chicken barbecue and beef barbecue. Woohoo! Okay. A little thing that I created for you to put in your Bible as a bookmarker. It lists seven blessings, seven benedictions. That's what a benediction is. And in our history, over the past 500 years, we've gotten in the habit of closing our worship services with a benediction, with a word of blessing. But if you look at the 86 benedictions in the Old and New Testament, you'll find that very often they didn't come at the end of things. They came at the beginning and in the middle of things. And so we find from the very beginning, God started by blessing creation and by blessing those whom he had created. And then one of the first benedictions, one of the first blessings in the Bible is one that took place between enemies. Many of us are familiar with the story of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Jacob and Laban. You know, Jacob's father, Isaac, sent him back to get one of the girls from back home. You know, don't marry any of the girls in Canaan. We all know about the girls in Canaan. Ben, go back home and marry the girls back home. And and so Jacob went, followed the wisdom of his dad. And I'm having way too much fun for this. For only having 3 minutes left. And so he went back and he saw Rachel, and just it was love at first sight. And so he approached Laban, her father, and said, I've got to have this woman. And Laban said, fine, all you need to do for her is work for me for 7 years. Now, 42 years later, I'm still working off my contract. But that's another story, too. So Jacob worked for 7 years, and he woke up on the morning of his first married day and found that it wasn't Rachel with whom he had consummated the marriage. It was Leah, her older sister. And so Laban said, well, no problem, just work another 7 years. Well, long story short, Jacob ended up working 20 years for Laban and finally left and snuck away at night. And Laban, with all of his posse, came after Jacob. And he was fully prepared to take what he believed belonged to him. That's Laban. And then it was a 7-day journey to finally catch up to Jacob. And one night, Laban had a dream, and he was very clearly told that he should not bring harm to Jacob. And he heard and obeyed the word of the Lord. And rather than bringing harm, he set up a stone. And he invited all of his clan to set up stones. And they set up a stone pillar. And Laban offered this blessing to Jacob. May the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent one from another. And what a wonderful blessing to an enemy. May the Lord... Now, it wasn't, I'll be watching you, so you better watch out. But it was, may the Lord watch over you, over thee and me, while while we're absent. One from another. And that's the first blessing I want to give you today. May the Lord watch over thee and me while we are absent one from another. Next blessing is probably the most familiar one to us. Many churches, many thousands of churches today will end with this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you, and so on and so forth. That's one that many of us know by heart. I want to lift up just one word. What does it mean for God to keep us? And I looked into that and found out that the word translated keep is the Hebrew word shamar. And it means to enfold, as in a sheep fold. To encircle with thorns, literally, is what the word shamar means. Now, we have these nice paintings on our Sunday school walls, you know, of these beautifully laid out sheepfolds made of stone. But, you know, these were a nomadic people, and they were always on the move, looking for the best grass for their sheep and their goats and their cattle. And so when they were out in the wild and needed to protect them, they would gather up thorns from thorn bushes and create a fold out of thorns. And that's what it's talking about. That may the Lord bless you and put a hedge of thorns around you to protect you. The next three I want to put together, and this is really why we served the kind of communion that we served today. And that is that blessings contain nuggets of grace. Blessings contain nuggets of grace. And I thought the best way to illustrate that would be passing out Hershey's Nuggets. Because you see, a blessing is something we possess that we give to or impart to another. And so you and I have been blessed so richly. And to bless another is not simply to recite some refrain, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Those words mean nothing unless we are imparting grace to someone. And so just as three of our grandchildren gave to you the blessing of a Hershey nugget, you and I are blessed so that we can share nuggets of grace with others. Well, what are the nuggets of grace? I read seven nuggets in these next three blessings. Let's look at them together. Let's read them aloud together, and you put an emphasis on the word that you think is the nugget. Now, I'll give you the first one. It's actually the word grace, okay? Ready? Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. So those are two nuggets. Let's go on. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. So now we have grace and peace and love and fellowship. Let's go to the next one. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Those are seven wonderful nuggets of grace that you will have an opportunity today to share with us. And you've already shared with us today nuggets of grace. I have in my sermon notes all sorts of illustrations of this, but we just don't have time for that. Contrary to what my son Chris said, I do actually work on my sermons. I don't just stand up I've always felt that in order to look like you're ad-libbing, you got to really prepare. So, Chris, there. One story out of many. I'll tell two. I have a little homemade bubblegum decanter not decanter, but what is it?
Dispenser,
that's the word, dispenser, thanks. In my office, and almost every Sunday, there are a bunch of kids in there getting free bubble gum, you know? I have something they want. And it needs to be dispensed to them. And listen, I honestly don't know anybody who doesn't want grace and peace and love and fellowship and joy and hope and power. And those of us who have those must dispense them to others. And so here's the story that I wanted to tell. I did a prayer workshop at Hershey Spring Creek, 10 or 12 years ago. And the gal who prepared the breakfast, it was like an all-day kind of a thing, and we started out with breakfast in the morning. She went to the Giant in Hershey and bought these scrumptious muffins. And she had handfuls of these muffins for this. And when she went out through the cash register, the woman at the cash register said, "Wow, where are you going with all those muffins?" And the woman very matter-of-factly said, "Oh, I'm going to a prayer workshop." And the woman grabbed her arm and said, "Oh, would you pray for me?" Everywhere we go, there are those who need our prayers. There are those who are longing for real community, fellowship. There are those who are impoverished and feel powerless who need a touch of the Almighty. And so, let us be dispensers of these nuggets of grace wherever we go. There's one more, and I think I'm doing pretty well to be at this point, you know, the finally point, the place where the words that you all pray, you will hear. Finally, brethren, I want to leave you with this last blessing. Now may the Lord of peace himself continuously grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. The two words I like in that are continually and every circumstance. So it doesn't matter wherever we go. This is the blessing that keeps on blessing. And so I invite you to receive it. And the choir is even going to help by singing a number. They were going to do it for Carol and I, but we want to sing in the choir, so we're going to sing our own farewell. Would you rise to your feet and say with me these commissioning words taken from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Let's read them together in unison, and then right after that, we're going to go out with joy and be led forth with peace, or in peace, all the way down to chicken and beef barbecue. And you're all invited. Let's read it together. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight, especially the sin that easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Well, with joy. People said, amen. Amen.